Good morning, everyone. This morning we are in Psalm 52, and it is an interesting passage. Like Psalm 51, it opens with a intro into what the psalm is about, and here's what it says. Someone titled it. Now, the title, again, is likely not inspired. It says, Futility of Boastful Wickedness, and someone, you know, gave that as a description. It's not really a bad description of what the psalm is about. But then this was part of the original intro to the psalm. It says, for the choir director, a maskil of David, when Dag, the Edomite, came and told Saul and said to him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Now, in order to understand this story, I went back to 1 Samuel 21 and 22. And what happened is you might recall that Saul was king, but he was not a good king. And he was after David and wanted to take David's life. He really was jealous in many ways of the blessing of God that was upon David. And Saul was trying to kill him. So David was on the run. You might recall that Jonathan helped inform David that he needed to flee. His dad, King Saul, Jonathan and David had a special relationship. Well, while David was on the run, he came to the priest and needed food. And the priest gave him the consecrated bread to eat from the tabernacle at the time, which was quite an odd thing that the consecrated bread could be used so that David and his men could eat. In 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 10, Dag, who ends up being an enemy, said about that the Ahimelech, the priest, inquired of the Lord for him, gave him, David, provisions, and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. So, actually, an enemy, Dag, who I'll explain in a second, says that Ahimelech actually inquired of the Lord, and that the Lord gave permission for Ahimelech to give the bread of presence to David and his guys. But this Dag was an Edomite who was a relative of Esau. You might recall Jacob and Esau, brothers. Jacob's name got changed to Israel, and that became the Israelites. And Esau ended up becoming the father of the Edomites. And although related, they ended up becoming enemies of each other in many regards. So this Dag somehow is conspiring with King Saul. And he was there and saw when David received the consecrated bread, and also the Ahimelech gave the sword of Goliath to David so that David would have a weapon. So Dag saw this happen, and then he reported to King Saul that the priest did this. So then King Saul was super mad at the priests and wanted to kill them, and he ordered his servants to kill all the priests. And they're like, no, we're not going to do that. And they didn't do it. They didn't honor the king's request to kill the priests. So then Saul went to Dag the Edomite and said, you kill him. So indeed, this Dag goes ahead and kills like 90 priests or something close to that effect. A very brutal man, and kills the priests on behalf of Saul. And, you know, he ratted on David regarding this other situation. So he was quite an enemy and quite a brutal, evil man, this Dag the Edomite. And David now is writing this psalm in response to this. But one other thing before we get into this that I'd like to share is this story actually fits into the New Testament, because you might recall that Jesus's apostles were picking grain, and it was a Sabbath day. And, you know, of course, the Jews were always after Jesus regarding the Sabbath and regarding Jewish law. But, you know, Jesus was, it wasn't ushered in yet, but he was going to usher in a new covenant. And there were going to be changes that were going to be made as to what parts of the law, you know, we need to follow today and not. And one of the changes, it was to the Sabbath. And they were attacking Jesus because his guys on the Sabbath day picked grain. And Jesus said, hey, did you remember that David ate the consecrated bread? And he said, you know what? The Lord doesn't just delight in, you know, you honoring all these things. Basically, he wants your heart. And Jesus said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. And therefore, you know, as we'll see through the New Testament and through the Apostle Paul, that changes then were made to the Sabbath day because the Jews had made it such a legalistic thing, and they made 128 pages of instruction on what to do and not to do on the Sabbath that went above and beyond the law. So anyways, it's interesting how this one story gets, you know, we learn from some things from the past prior to Psalm 52 and then much later in the life of Jesus, how this all kind of comes together. But now, understanding all that background, in Psalm 52, David is writing a psalm about this evil act of Dag the Edomite who killed the priests. And it's interesting, you know, you know if you've listened to me that one of the things that I find interesting to talk about is God's divine sovereignty, man's free will, and the mystery that is there. And I believe that that comes up again here because, you know, evil sometimes has its way, but in the end, it's going to get its retribution. But sometimes in life, it seems like God allows for really horrible things to happen, or it's just he said, you know what? You guys are free to the extent that if you choose to do evil, you can, you know, evil can occur. And, but in the end, it's going to be condemned and people are going to receive their just penalty. If they don't receive it in this life, they're going to receive it in the next. And that seems to be an emphasis of this psalm here. David may be wondering, God, why allow all your priests to be killed? Or why does that happen? And, you know, some people take it as, well, God controls everything. So it would almost be like he wanted Dag the Edomite to kill all those priests. And I don't look at it that way. I see it as a mystery that somehow in our humanness, we can choose evil. And yet later there's going to be punishment. So let's take a look at it now. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? And, you know, I believe David's just condemning Dag for what he did. The loving kindness of God endures all day long. Your tongue devises destruction. It's interesting, isn't it? So David's commenting that, you know, God's loving kindness is still there, even though all these horrible things happened to these priests. The loving kindness of God is still there, but Dag, your tongue devises destruction. Like a sharp razor, O worker of deceit. You're a worker of deceit, Dag. You love evil more than good, and that's what he was. He was a lover of evil more than good, falsehood more than what is right. And yeah, I mean, he not only did what was evil, but ratted on David. And you love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. And you know what? There's people that are filled with evil today. That are filled with falsehood, that are filled with lies, and they're just dead set against the ways of God. There are people like that. I mean, look at something like 9/11 that happened in America, where, you know, we have these terrorists come and you know, just kill, 4,000 people and take down two towers with planes, and they're just evil. It's evil, and there's evil in the world. But listen to what it says, verse 5. But God will break you down forever. He will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living, meaning your life's going to get taken and then you're going to face the penalty for what's due you. The righteous will see and fear and will laugh at him, saying, "Behold the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and was strong in his evil desire." But God's gonna take his retribution on that man. But what does he say? David say about himself? "But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. I will give you thanks forever because you have done it, and I will wait on your name, for it is good, in the presence of your godly ones." God is able to discern between good and holy and what is right and those who have faith in him, and he's able to discern between evil and those who are against him. And David, even in the midst of evil, was saying, you know what? I'm going to trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever. And he's going to wait on the goodness of God, not only on this life, but in the life to come. And he's going to trust that evil is going to get its day. It's going to receive its due punishment. It will be snatched up and torn away, and they will be uprooted from the land of the living. And so do not fret, do not fear when evil seems to have its way on earth. God knows, God sees, there will be retribution for those who have denied the Lord Jesus Christ and have chose to stand against him. One day they will stand no more, and he will put them into an eternal hellfire for not embracing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But those who have faith in Jesus will arise to heavenly places and ages to come, and justice will be done, and blessing will be given to those who are children of God, who have believed in the one that God has sent, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In this life, sometimes things aren't going to seem fair. In this life, sometimes there will be proud men, boastful men, people that seem to have things going right here. But in the end, they will realize, like the rich man in Luke chapter 16, who saw the poor man outside his gate, and he never paid attention to that poor man. But one day he died, and he was put on the other side of the chasm where he was in torment, and he wished the poor man would just dip his finger in some water and give him a cool drop of water to drink. So in the end, I want you all to know it's going to be worth it for following Jesus. There are promises for us in heavenly places. Hallelujah. Keep your faith in him no matter what you see, no matter when evil has its way. In the end, it's going to be worth it. And I think even now, because we're protected from so much of our own destruction that we would bring upon ourselves and our sinful lifestyles if we were left to our own doing and if we were left to the ways of our flesh. So there's a blessing of God's protection and a blessing of goodness in the land of the living for being a follower of Jesus now. Hallelujah. I know my life has been better. Hallelujah. For being a follower of Jesus now. But the full reward is in the places and ages to come. And there the fullness of punishment will also be dealt to those who have denied the Christ and lived for evil. So hang on. Wait for the loving kindness of God forever and ever. I will wait on your name, for it is good, in the presence of your godly ones. Hallelujah. One day we'll be celebrating together with the Lord. Wait on him. Hallelujah. God bless you all.